Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. During our series looking at the Gospel of John, we've been considering what we can learn from Jesus about the way to love people. Our passage for today looks at how Jesus demonstrated his love during the hardest of times, in the midst of grief. We're going to look at the passage in sections as we consider this question of how we love like Jesus does. And instead of reading each section, I'm going to give a character's perspective of the story and then consider what we learn from it. So we're looking at John chapter 11. And we start with listening to Thomas's voice as Jesus receives the news that his friend Lazarus was ill. We were with Jesus as usual when a messenger approached us with horrible news. He spoke to Jesus and told him, "Lord, the one you love is ill." Jesus looked pained for a moment before he said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Well, I thought, great, Jesus is going to heal him and everything will be all right. But then nothing more was said about it for a couple of days. And I guess I kind of assumed that this meant that Jesus knew that Lazarus had recovered on his own, or perhaps Jesus had done some kind of healing from a distance and Lazarus was okay. Then suddenly Jesus said, "Let us go back to Judea." To be honest, I thought he was crazy or something. Go back to Judea? Ridiculous. People are trying to kill him there. So I reminded him, "But Rabbi, a short while ago, the Jews there were trying to stone you, and yet you are going back." I was desperately hoping he would change his mind. He would remember that it was a dangerous place and not go in that direction. Surely we couldn't go back to such a threat. He'd be going to his death. But even though he knew about the danger, Jesus had his mind made up. When we questioned him, Jesus just said, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." At first I was confused by his words, and then I realised that he was telling us to trust God to guide us, for God to be our light. I must confess, my trust that God would protect us wasn't that great. But if we were going with Jesus to heal Lazarus from his sickness, then we must go. But then Jesus tells us, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." I thought that meant that Lazarus had recovered and was merely sleeping, resting from his illness. So why would Jesus need to wake him up if he was sleeping? Surely it would be better for him to sleep, as he would recover better with rest. But that wasn't what Jesus meant. He told us plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." How he knew, I don't know. But we didn't question it. Somehow Jesus clearly knew that Lazarus had died. And so I wondered, why are we going when Lazarus is dead and there is nothing we can do to help him anymore? But then it occurred to me, perhaps he wanted to go and pay his respects and to be with Lazarus' grieving family. But still, was it really worth going to Judea to pay respect to someone who is already dead, when we ourselves risk death by going? Surely the family would understand if we didn't come in person because of the death threats against Jesus. But Jesus was determined that we would go. And so I said, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." So we see that Jesus knew the dangers he faced in Judea. He knew that his many enemies would love to find an opportunity to kill him, as Thomas reminded him. But Jesus also knew that he had to go. He needed to be there for his friends, and also to demonstrate God's glory by raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus' love was so great that he was willing to face danger for the sake of his friends. What about our love? Are we willing to take risks for the sake of our loved ones? Jesus risked his life for his friends. But I know that sometimes I choose to put my own comfort before the needs of my friends. For example, there have been times when a friend has asked me to come over for a chat, perhaps they've had a bad day or something, and I've had a long day and I'm tired, and I've not wanted to go and be with my friend, even though they were needing me. I put my own comfort, my own desire to do what I want before helping another. But Jesus, he went into danger so that he could be with his friends and be there for them. So do we choose to put our loved ones' needs first above our own comfort? Just something to think about. So the next part of the passage is told from the perspective of Martha, the sister of Lazarus. I had been inconsolable. My brother had become ill, and I sent a messenger to Jesus, hoping that he would come and heal Lazarus. But shortly after the messenger left, my brother's health suddenly took a turn for the worse. Not long after that, he died. I couldn't believe it. What was I going to do? I think I went into shock. Mary just kept weeping and weeping. I kept thinking surely she'd have no more tears left to cry, and then more would fall down her cheeks. For 4 days she wept constantly. But I couldn't cry. I wanted to cry. I felt like crying, but the tears just wouldn't fall. I also felt I shouldn't cry. I had to stay strong for Mary. As the older sister, it was my duty to care for her. And so I couldn't cry. I had to stay strong. My sister and I kept trying to comfort each other, but we just kept feeling that same awful pain. I remember we said to each other, if only Jesus had been here, Lazarus would still be alive. And then Jesus finally arrived. And I thought to myself, why wasn't he here earlier? And when I saw him, I couldn't stop myself from blurting out, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. I knew it wasn't Jesus' fault that Lazarus had died, but I couldn't stop myself from thinking that Jesus could have healed him. I did feel guilty about pushing the blame for Lazarus' death on Jesus. And so I added, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And then Jesus said to me, your brother will rise again. I assumed he was talking about the last days and our trust, our belief that we will rise again when the Lord judges the earth. I took comfort from knowing that I would see Lazarus again. And so I told Jesus, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But then Jesus responded, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? So many thoughts and feelings ran through my head. But the one thing I felt the strongest was a sudden confidence, a strong belief about Jesus. Yes, Lord, I replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Of course, I went to go and fetch Mary, who was still sitting, weeping at the house. I told her the teacher is here and is asking for you. And so we went back to where I left Jesus. All the others that were there saw us leave and decided to follow us. I'm not sure why. I guess maybe they thought we were going to the tomb to mourn. But when we reached Jesus, Mary threw herself at Jesus' feet. And she also seemed to burst out with that same thought as I did. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And as she had done since Lazarus died, Mary collapsed into a sobbing mess, unable to contain her sorrow. I saw the pain and sorrow on Jesus' face, more pronounced than I'd ever seen. With a hoarse voice, as if he was holding back a tide of emotion, Jesus asked, "Where have you laid him?" We took him to the tomb, to the place where we laid our brother. And in that moment, Jesus wept in anguish. And for the first time since Lazarus died, I felt my own tears pour down my cheeks. Somehow, seeing Jesus weep gave me permission to weep too, to truly feel the sorrow that I had been trying desperately to keep at bay. In Jesus' company, I suddenly felt safe enough to grieve and to weep. In that moment, Jesus did more to comfort me than any of the mourners and their empty platitudes or their kind words. Knowing that Jesus wept for my brother, for us, allowed me to grieve and to get comfort as well. Grief and pain are such hard things to deal with. And when we know someone is hurting, it can be hard to know how to help. Jesus knew what was needed. When Mary and Martha were grieving, he didn't try and offer them kind words or empty platitudes. Instead, he just stood with them in their pain and shared their grief. It's hard to know what to do or to say, but here Jesus shows that often it is best to say or do nothing and just mourn and grieve with people who are hurting. Jesus demonstrates the importance of being alongside people in times of pain, of standing with them in the depths of their pain and sharing it with them. And this is something I can personally testify to. When I was grieving, I was much more comforted by the friend who didn't say much, but just gave me a loving hug and sat and cried with me, than I was by the people who tried to say things to make me feel better. We often find silence and sitting with people's pain really difficult, but sometimes it is the best thing to do. And we need to manage our own discomfort for the sake of supporting a friend in need. Jesus knew that Mary and Martha needed to be given permission to grieve, to have someone to share their pain with. So at that moment, at the tomb, despite knowing that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, Jesus stood with his friends and he grieved with them. But of course, our story doesn't end there. Because Jesus comforts us and stands with us when we grieve and are in pain, but he also gives us hope and new life. He promises us the wonder of resurrection. And this is a hope that we hold on to for ourselves, but it was also a reality that Martha and Mary witnessed as Jesus called Lazarus to come out from the tomb. So listen as we hear the story through Mary's eyes. He was weeping with us. I felt the depth of his love for Lazarus and for us as he stood there weeping with us. He started to walk forwards towards the tomb, and I could see the deep compassion and love in his face. And then he called out, take away the stone. What? Why on earth would he want to take away the stone? Lazarus has been in there for 4 days. The stench will be unbearable. I don't want to remember my brother like that. My sister seemed to be thinking the same thing as me, and I heard her say to Jesus, "But Lord, by this time there is a bad odour, for he has been there 4 days." I'm glad she had spoken up to say it, because I could barely speak. It felt like there had been a lump in my throat since Lazarus died, and all that would come out was sobs. But Jesus turned to Martha and said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" I didn't know what he had spoken to her about, but she just stared back at Jesus for a few seconds before nodding, allowing people to move the stone away. I didn't know what was going on. Why was Martha allowing this? I looked back at Jesus, hoping he would tell me what was going on. Trying to swallow that lump of grief down in my throat, I opened my mouth to ask what was happening. But Jesus turned to look at the skies and raised his hands in prayer. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." At the time, it seemed like a strange thing to pray. He didn't prostrate himself and plead for God's mercy, nor did he list the ways that he'd kept God's law and suggest his righteousness should move God to action. Instead, he just thanked God for hearing him and talked about how he was praying this prayer so that we could see it. And then Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" There was stillness and silence for a moment as we all turned to look at the tomb. And then we heard movement. And there, out of the tomb, my brother appeared, still wrapped in the linen cloths we had placed on him. He was there, alive, moving, breathing. I could barely believe my eyes. I vaguely heard Jesus say, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." But I wasn't paying attention as I ran towards my brother, tears once again streaming down my eyes, but this time in joy and not sorrow. He was alive. Jesus proved to Martha and Mary that he wasn't merely a prophet or a wise man, but someone with the power over life and death. The Messiah, the Son of God. And with this miracle, Jesus gave them hope. Not just hope for Lazarus' earthly life, but hope for them all, for all eternity. Jesus demonstrated that death had no power or hold over him. And we have this promise as well. We are assured of God's mercy and love, and we are welcomed into his family. This is a hope that we hold on to with great joy. It is also a hope that we can share with those who don't know it. So hold on to that hope as you go out into this week and face whatever trials you are going to face. Amen.